hear about this. I think at our growth group I mentioned just recently about, and somebody mentioned EE this morning, I was talking to someone about evangelism explosion and how some of us have used that with mixed results. And I've used evangelism explosion. Once we, in Christchurch, the very first time we tried to do it, we had exactly that. I went with a guy and we tried to talk to people and they're like, nah, not interested. Two ladies from the church and went around and they prayed and they went up to a lady sitting on a bench. Her name's Catherine Ray. And they said to excuse us, we're from EPC. We want to wonder if you've got a minute to talk about Jesus. And she said, love to. She said, I've just been sitting here and praying that I'd meet some Christians. And that's in the same, this was in the same shopping mall on the same day, in the same hour, same, you know, and you just can't pick it. So it's just the way that things are. And so you'll have some people who just love to hear the gospel, and then you've got other people who just will laugh at you, laugh at Christians. They say, you know, you believe that stuff, that's childish. You know, you really, you know, isn't that fairy tales? Isn't that, you know, all that made up story stuff in the Bible? You don't really accept that, do you? All that superstitious nonsense. Or some people get even angry and say, you know, you shouldn't be talking like that. That's wrong. And then you're getting now people who are challenging you, who will come and say, you know, you believe this about the Bible? That's Jesus isn't the Son of God. Jesus didn't die on the cross. God has sent his prophet, his name is Muhammad, and that is the true way, and that is the only way to live your life. And you're blaspheming by talking about Jesus as the Son of God. By the way, it's a very good reminder to us, or an important reminder to us, as to why we should know what we believe, isn't it? I think I'm really worried about us as Christians, because I think so many of us don't really know our faith. We don't understand the core teachings and foundational doctrines of the Bible, of the Christian faith. And so that when people knock on our door and people challenge us and say, did Jesus really die on the cross? Is Jesus really the Son of God? Is the Holy Spirit really a person? Do you have to keep all the laws, and do you have to be circumcised and keep all the Jewish traditions? And, you know, this is this church that Tina was talking about before. A lot of Christians don't know what to say. They don't know how to respond. Why? Because they haven't studied their faith. Last week, went to a guy's house. He has a house full of books. He's a single man, never married, worked as a doctor all his life, and has spent all of his money on books. Probably 50% of them are Christian books. Some of them are on art history. Some of them are medical books. Some of them are on all kinds of other things. If you took all of his books, they would probably, if you shelved them, would fill this whole room. You can't move in his house. Every square inch is packed with books. But it just struck me as I was packing these books. He's donating these books. And as I was packing these books for the college, I was thinking, you know, there's so many books. I wonder how many Christians would read these books or have read any of these books. People are pumping out books constantly, but are we reading all of these books? And I think that we as Christians, we need to understand that. We need to know how to defend our faith. Little sidetrack there, I know. But we shouldn't be surprised. We should expect people to have what we might say as a flip-flop reception to the gospel message. Even in the same person, I guess, which is the truer use of that term, flip-flop, where some people may say, yeah, I love it, I want to hear more, and then the next time you talk to them and they say, nah, not interested, somebody said to me I shouldn't get involved in that nonsense, you know, with these Christians. I had a man who did that. He came out of jail, he had one arm, and been a Black Power member. And I was doing Bible studies with him, and he was like, yeah, man, let's do Bible studies. And I was like, yeah, let's do Bible studies. This is awesome. And then I go to see him one day, and he goes, oh, did you know that the Bible teaches incest? You believe in it? And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, you know, it says in the Bible. And I said, what are you talking about, bro? And he says, oh, my friend who just came out of jail, he's become a Muslim, and he gave me a book that says the Bible says all of these things. And he's talking about Judah and Tamar and things like that. And I said, no, it doesn't teach. It's telling you that it happened, but it doesn't teach it's right. It's giving it to you as a warning. Praise the Lord that he's actually going on with the Lord. I met his wife last week. So, you know, even within the same people, you get that kind of response. Why? Well, that is a mystery to us, but the apostle Luke explains that here, doesn't he? He says that, he tells you why. He says in verse is that, 48? He says, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. That's the mystery of the gospel, isn't it? You wonder sometimes, you tell people, you can tell them straight in their face, you're going to hell unless you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've probably done that. You said to people, you're going to hell unless you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your life, you're just going on a highway to hell. Dotted line, you're tearing down the dotted line. You're on your highway to hell. And you can say that to people straight in their face and they go, yeah, yeah. Well, whatever. And why don't they believe? Well, we have to say, because they aren't appointed to eternal life. God hasn't chosen them. God hasn't drawn them to himself. Doesn't mean he won't ever do that, but at that point, God's Spirit is not working in their hearts and hasn't changed their hearts so that they will believe. Because you and I know that until the Holy Spirit touches your heart and touches your life, you cannot believe. And you will not believe. You will reject the gospel until the Holy Spirit comes and changes your heart. And that's why it's so important, isn't it, for us to be praying. Praying for those people we know and love. Praying for our neighbors. Praying for our workmates. Praying for ourselves as well. That the Holy Spirit would change our hearts constantly. The second thing, of course, is you see this in the attitudes, a flip-flop in attitudes towards even Christians themselves. You know, many of us can live with people saying, yeah, I love Jesus, nah, I hate Jesus or the gospel. Yeah, I want to be a Christian, nah, I don't want to be a Christian. We can handle that, can't we? But as soon as people start exhibiting those same attitudes towards us, as Christians, that's the hard part, isn't it? And so if you think of the headlines, you know, and the stuff that's been in the news over the past weeks, what happened in Egypt in the lead up to Easter? Suicide bombers went into churches in a packed church in Cairo and Alexandria and blew themselves up and blew up, you know, other people in the process, murdered a whole lot of other people in the process. You imagine that. You go to church, you don't know if somebody in the church is just going to be there and just going to blow themselves up in the middle of the church service. We can't even imagine that. It almost sounds like a joke when we think about it. But that's a reality for people. That's how hated these people are. They're hated the Christians are in these places. And yet they remain faithful. And yet in another place, you go and everybody wants to be a Christian. You think, and I was reading about the prayer breakfast in America, you know, where the Christians get together with the President of the United States. And they have somebody, a pastor might come and they might give a talk and they pray together. And the high and the mighty and all the powerful people are there. Everybody's there. Everybody's being kind and saying nice things about the Christians. Now, obviously, we if you're like me, I want people to say nice things about me. Isn't that right? We like it when people say nice things. We like it when people affirm us. And Jeff, oh, you're a Christian. You're even a pastor. Oh, good on you for doing that. You know, that's a good thing you're doing there. You know, you must help people. You must have lots of cups of teas with old ladies. And stuff like that. Oh, good on you for doing that. That's nice. That's really nice job. You know, oh, Christians are lovely people. Yeah, I know some Christians. We want that. But we don't want the people go, you Christians are just jerks. You know, you Christians are just hypocrites. I hate Christians. Some of my family are Christians. You know what they've done? They screwed up our family. They've made a mess in my life. You know, you're just always judging people, you Christians. always judging people, always telling us what we've done wrong, telling us we can't drink, telling us we can't live together. Yeah, telling us we can't do with ourselves, our bodies, whatever we want. It's my body. You go around and you tell us all that stuff. You're just busybody. You're just hypocrites. You're just spoil sports. You're just killjoys. And then people oppose us, don't they? And people exhibit anger and hatred towards us. And I think that if you are consistent, the point is this, that you and I really need to understand, and that this passage illustrates for us, Paul and Barnabas were not on some sort of suicidal kind of sadomasochistic, not really certain what it means, but it's sort of like into beating yourself up and hurting yourself. They weren't on some sort of masochistic, probably is the word, better word. They weren't into doing that, were they? That wasn't their purpose. Of course they wanted people to like them. Of course they wanted people to welcome them with open arms. But they kept preaching the gospel even though people didn't. And they accepted that there were some who would not receive the Lord Jesus Christ and who would therefore reject and hate them for that. I read last week about a young guy in Melbourne, Australia, on a train. He was wearing a cross around his neck. There were four young Muslim men who said to him, "Why are you wearing this cross around your neck? Jesus isn't God. Jesus wasn't crucified." And one of them, and it ended up being getting physical, and one of them pulled the cross from around his neck. And he was pushed and shoved around on a train in Melbourne. That's a reality. And you and I, we need to understand that. We need to accept that. We don't lie down and let people whack us or shout at us or abuse us or anything like that. But it's just something that goes with the territory. If we're faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to understand that because not everybody wants to hear the gospel, not everybody is going to like us who believe in the gospel. And so Paul and Barnabas, they're either being welcomed with open arms or they're being driven out of the city with threats over their lives. And if you're a Christian, you will know that. And if you know Christians, maybe you realize you have attitudes about them like that. If you don't consider yourself a Christian today, but you know Christians, you probably realize how sometimes I hate them. Sometimes they're okay, but sometimes I hate them. What about us, though? Well, this is where my joke comes in, doesn't it? Rather than being flip-flop, we as Christians have to be flip-flip, right? We have to be in the same, we have to have the same message, we have to believe the same thing. And as I was looking at that passage, one of the things that really struck me was the consistency and faithfulness of God's people. And there's a phrase that recurs at least four times in this passage. And it's the phrase, the word of the Lord. In verse 44, we read that they gathered to hear the word of the Lord. And then it says in 46, Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, we had to speak the word of God to you first, as explaining it to the Gentiles. And then it says in verse 48, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed to eternal life believed. And in verse 3, we see Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace, or the word of his grace, literally, by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. You see, what is the consistent theme, the thing that has to be held to throughout all of this, that's my third point, is the word of the Lord. It's the word of the Lord. It's the message of the gospel. That is the thing that we have to hold to regardless of how people are responding or how people are treating you and I. Paul and Barnabas were faithful. Paul and Barnabas kept speaking, kept preaching the word of the Lord. And that's the challenge for us, isn't it? How do you react when people say to you, "Oh, you're a Christian, I don't really like Christians"? You'll meet somebody who will say that to you. They might say it at school. "Oh, you're a Christian. I don't really like Christians." Or Christians are hypocrites. Oh, you're a Christian? What do you say? Or you believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world, that Jesus, that man who lived 2,000 years ago, you really believe he died on a cross and rose again? Do you really believe that? What do you say? And the thing is that for us, we have to be consistent and faithful to the Word of God. And it's hard, isn't it? Because we live in a society that's very pluralistic. You know, everybody has different beliefs. And, oh, that's wonderful, you're a Hindu. That's wonderful, you're a Muslim. That's wonderful, you're a Sikh. That's wonderful, you're an atheist. That's wonderful, you're a Buddhist. That's wonderful, you're a Mormon or Jehovah's Witness. And everybody has to be right. Everybody has to be affirmed. But you're a Christian and you're saying Jesus is the only way. That doesn't sound good. Or it's hard for us when we live in a society that's very much focused on technology and presentation, how things look, how things sound. Are they really well packaged? Are they slick and are they nice to look at and nice to listen to? Or when people maybe focus more on experience, if things feel good, then they must be right. It's hard, isn't it, to be faithful to the Word of God. And so we can't flip-flop in our attitude towards the gospel. If you're a Christian today, you have to be consistent. You have to be firm. You have to stay faithful to the Word of God, to the Scriptures and the gospel message that is contained in the Word of God that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. So we need to be flip-flops rather than flip-flops. You and I, we can't afford to be uncertain. We can't afford to waver in our commitment. We can't afford to try and please man. You know what it's like. It's futile. You can never please everybody anyway. But sometimes there's a lot of pressure on us. We will be laughed at. We will be rejected. We will be hated. People will respond angrily to the gospel message. And people will even respond angrily to you because of the gospel message. But the thing is that you and I, we need to be like these people. And I love it how they are described as those who rejoice and glorify the word of the Lord. That's my prayer for us, that God would help us. As we live in a day where, you know, it seems like more and more people are turning away from God and more people are starting to challenge and reject what the Bible says, I think the challenge and the prayer for us is that we become people who are more and more committed and faithful to what God's word says, to the word of the Lord about the word about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we confess that it's not always easy being one of your followers. And a lot of that is because we want to be liked, or we want to be popular, or we want to be the respected. And we know that the gospel has always been and always will be loved by some but rejected by others. Some will think it's folly, some will think it's superstition. Some will think it's just dangerous and hateful. And Lord, we thank you that your word reminds us of that and teaches us that, so that we shouldn't be surprised when it happens. But our prayer, Lord God, is that whether the gospel message is accepted or rejected, or whether we are accepted or rejected, we would stay faithful to you as your servants Paul and Barnabas in this passage show us, that they stayed faithful to you and continued to preach the gospel. Pray this same faithfulness for ourselves, Lord, the same consistency, the same commitment to your word and to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.